The Brad Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTapes.com studios.
It's a great Monday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatch, with you on Sports360AZ.com, on AZ Central Sports. Good to partner up with the Arizona Republic. On the program today, Paula Bova, News and Notes, our friend and columnist for the Republic down in Dallas, North Texas, as they like to say, being very official, North Texas. Paula will join us in about 25 minutes or thereabouts on tonight's national title game on Phoenix's, Arizona's pursuit of finally landing a Final Four. She had a big, very, very well-written piece, a well-researched piece today on AZ Central Sports. We'll talk with our friend Paula Bovin. A lot on my mind from the weekend. Had a long weekend. Saw the Avengers, actually Captain America. I saw the Avengers and I saw Captain America. But I saw Captain America on Friday night. Daughter got engaged over the weekend. That's a pretty interesting little... I don't know if I'm going to get too far into it. How far do you go as a dad? Like, do you have to be told by the guy that I'm going to ask your daughter to get married? So there's a little bit of a personal dilemma that I've been battling this weekend because it didn't really go exactly as planned. I was telling Eric, Senior Executive Vice President of Everything, Eric Sorensen, that, you know, you watch basketball on Saturday night and then you get a phone call saying, hey, I got engaged. And she's not in Vegas. So, you know, there was that going for her. But nonetheless, it was one of those life experiences. So I'm going to get into that a little bit on today's show. It is Masters Week 2.
Life experiences.
Life experiences. Life,
sometimes when people say life experiences,
yeah,
they're masking something.
So is it death experience?
No, it's just a life experience.
It's a life experience, meaning he didn't handle it right. So
ding, 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 ding.
But you're going to go through a life experience here in a few months.
Yep,
so
I am.
Eric's going down the pipe, and it's fine. It's fine. It's Masters Week. The Suns won last night. I had to read this stuff about the Diamondbacks and their stadium being too big, which is another way of saying, please don't pay attention to how bad our team is right now. Let's get something out there. Let's get anything out there to take the focus off. Our team is horrid right now and off to a bad start. I don't care much for that. Let's talk about what is. What is your team isn't getting it done. So I'm getting into that. The Final Four tonight and the championship game. Is it underwhelming? I mean, I found myself really captivated by Kentucky, not so much with Connecticut. Shabazz Napier is a terrific player. The backcourt of Connecticut, yeah, there's a great backstory and all that, but there's not the sizzle that there is with having five freshmen, and then the two first off the bench are freshmen. And here's Coach Calipari, who had a terrible team early in the year, couldn't find their way out of a bag. He's got these Harrison twins that their dad was a crazy dad in high school. And even before that, was molding them to get to this point down in Houston and was loathed by others in the club scene. What else is new? I love the backstory, you know? So there's that I'm going to get into. Arizona State's AD, some interesting stories out of how ASU has found some new revenue and coaches leaving. And are there big changes afoot over at ASU that I want to get into? Let's see, what else do I have on my mind? The Johnny Manziel story. RG3 decides to coin a nickname. You might want to win something first. His own logo. You're going to have your own logo. So I remember Bill Parcells talking about never be bigger than the game. Don't be too Hollywood. Did we see too much Hollywood from Matt Leinart and whatever happened to him? Vince Young, whatever happened to him? These guys that really want to play the game and play it the right way. Then you have Johnny Manziel applying for the house that Johnny built trademark. Why, of course, John is sitting around saying, you know, while I'm out there working out, maybe I should have my own trademark. Or is it, hey, marketing guy A, B, C, and D, that we're going to put you in fatigues, we're going to put you in shoulder pads, we're going to have you go speak to the media, we're going to have you just wow everybody at your pro day. And then we're going to float out there about having your own trademark because there's going to be some crazy owner. There's an owner that is feeling entirely too much pressure at the very top of the NFL draft to pass on Johnny Manziel. The more that this goes on, how can you not take Johnny Manziel? Because the football guy will lose out every time to the marketing guy. That's just the way it is when it comes to professional sports. We can sell gobs of jerseys on the house that Johnny Built trademarked. Forget about the fact the first time he takes a square hit to his shoulder and it pops out that he's done. We've already done what we can do. Hey, John, you're going to get hurt. So just set up your second and third career. I'm going to get into that a little bit further. And the Basketball Hall of Fame came out today with their voting down in Texas. And one Suns player that some think is a no-brainer Hall of Famer got passed over today. I'll tell you who that is, too, as the show moves on. Eric has mentioned in today with our Facebook question of the day to get us off and running.
Good seeing you again, Brad. Well, as you mentioned, the Suns, good weekend for the Suns.
Yeah.
Big win at Portland on Friday. And then, hey, surprise, surprise, they beat the Thunder last night. The Suns are now 46-31. They are back in the playoffs if the playoffs ended or the season ended today.
Yeah.
So today, pretty simple question. Mm-hmm. Yes or no? Mm-hmm. Regardless of the Suns' postseason fate, is
right.
Jeff Hornacek your NBA Coach of the Year? I have to say yes, just because look at that mess that he took over last year.
So
just
you could
look at it.
You could look at Charlotte, and you
could
make a case for Charlotte.
You could.
You
could even look at Toronto. But again, there's such imbalance, though. If the Suns were in the East, Brad, they would be like fighting for like a 3 seed right now.
Well, here's what's gone on here this year. Remember, give the story some context. So if we give the story some context, that means we have to go all the way back to sitting in Jeff's office, as I did, and said, so what can you say to the assembled group here about tanking 2 or 3 games into the season? Because that was the narrative.
Yep.
That's what everybody talked about. If anybody now is going to say, no, everybody was talking about tanking.
Rigging for Wiggins.
Yeah, the whole deal. Come on. And so now we're down to, what is it, the final 5 games of the regular season. And they're still right there. It doesn't matter that they're on the cusp. As you point out, if they're in the East, they're fighting around for home playoff. Who would have thought that? So I'm not going to – and they lost Bledsoe for a long period
sure.
of time. He kept the team together. I don't think Plumlee has played nearly as well over the last second half of the season as he did early in the year. So, no, he's done a nice job. His first-round picks haven't done anything this year. Goodwin and Len have done nothing this year. So it's really just taking a bunch of cast-offs and saying, oh, hey, why don't you guys work together? Let's take a guy who had a heart problem last year, and we're going to make sure that he is a factor for us. Let's take a dirt worker like P.J. Tucker, who all he does is fight and hustle and scrap. And if he gets blood on his jersey, he's just going to go in the tunnel and take his shirt off and throw another one on and then stuff a bunch of gauze up his nose. And then I'm going to go back and play against Kevin Durant. I mean, that's what I want. So
I just think the East Coast pundits are going to look at the Suns if they don't make the playoffs and say, this guy can't be coach of the year.
Pundits,
they didn't even make the playoffs.
Come on.
East Coast bias. You know how that goes. Anyway, sports360az.com. Like the page.
Let's get you caught up. Some of the things on my mind in the world of sports brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. The Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top. In the beautiful White Mountains, you know the temperatures are starting to heat up in the valley, which means you're going to want to get out or wherever you are around the state. And why not make a plan to head on up to Pine Top? Head on up to the Honda Resort and Casino and stay there a couple of days, hang out in their great rooms, and then go on over and pull down on the slots, have some winnings, head on out to the high country, do some fishing, do some hiking, do some backpacking, and at night eat some great food, have some fun. Sounds too easy? It's not. It's just as simple as going to the Honda Resort and Casino. Just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains, that is the Honda Resort and Casino. They've been a part of Sports 360 AZ since day number one. I'm going to continue on with the Suns a little bit further. So when you shoot 58% from the floor, you're going to win most every game. And that's what the Suns did last night. The thing about this Suns team, this isn't like the San Antonio Spurs through the years where all the Spurs have to do is make sure that Parker, Ginobili, Duncan, or one or two of them are on the floor, and they're going to win most every night because they have the best run organization. As I see Jeff Hornacek coach this season, the trend here is pretty pronounced. Live by the three, die by the three. If you shoot well, you're going to win. That's not a recipe for winning titles, but given where we were a year ago to now, I'll take it. Yeah, everybody's geeked up today. This isn't brain surgery. They're in the fight for a playoff spot. I like that. I like seeing this team. I like seeing the effort out of this team. And so does their coach. Here's Jeff Hornacek after last night's win.
you know, those guys are terrific, Durant and Westbrook. You know, they can get anywhere they want. But our guys kept fighting. They kept fighting and putting the pressure on them. We tried to get a little more aggressive in the fourth quarter a little bit. But those guys, you know, they challenged all the shots.
So last night, Durant and Westbrook combined 71 points. 6 for 24 from three. So there you go for the Thunder. They died by the three-point shot last night. If you're San Antonio and you're watching all of this unfold, if you're the Spurs, do you want to play Memphis in the first round, a very physical team, or do you want to play the Suns and tie up your track shoes and get into a track meet? Because that's what it's like when you play the Suns. It's a track meet. Five games remaining now. Memphis has the tiebreaker over the Suns, having beaten them three times this year in as many meetings. The Suns are, though, up one game. So the Suns have New Orleans this Wednesday. They have at San Antonio on Friday night. They have Dallas at home on Saturday. They have, or at Dallas, I should say. They have Memphis next Monday, and they finish with Sacramento.
Yeah, good luck.
So I don't think, you can play the they're going to win this one and lose this one and win this one.
Because not with this team.
We saw what happened last night with Oklahoma City. We also saw what happened a week ago in Los Angeles against the Lakers. They were a train wreck. They got run over. I like the fact that they're in this spot. I don't root very often for teams. I don't think that that's journalistically correct. You may call me old school, old fashioned. I see a lot of cheerleading going on from people in the so-called media world here in the Valley. It's hard to not cheer for this team. I'm more into players and stories. It's hard for me not to cheer for Jeff Hornacek and Ryan McDonough because they're doing something that they bailed out Robert Sarver. They have given this team, no matter what happens in the next week, no matter what happens, the Suns now have gone through the worst of the worst for the organization, if you think about it. They have already bottomed out. They have had a season wildly successful. Doesn't matter if they make the playoffs or not. There's still enough people that said, can you believe how exciting the Suns were? They've done a nice job of building buzz. You have Kurt Warner and Larry Fitzgerald get involved in your social media to build some buzz. That's smart. It's very smart on the Suns' part. You have all these first-round picks. So you have momentum going into the offseason. No matter what happens in the next week, the worst is behind this team. I asked back in January as we go to break, can you take the same group of players and next year get the same sort of results? I didn't have an answer. I think I do as the season has progressed. We've seen a consistent level. So I like where they are. On the other side, so we have the championship game tonight. Where's Phoenix at in landing a Final Four? What's going on over at Arizona State that Ray Anderson is doing? I think you Sun Devil fans will be interested in that front. And problems at Chase Field with capacity. I've got my take on that. Paula Bovin in about 15 minutes. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Brad Sussmat and on AZ Central Sports.
React and interact to our Facebook question of the day. Like our page at facebook.com/sports360az.
Sports 360 AZ on AZ Central Sports. Good to be on the Arizona Republic, also White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. This is the 40th game for Kentucky tonight. 40. Remember the days of Jack Givens and Kyle Macy and Rick Roby and all that stuff? That year of 1978, Kentucky played 32 games. So eight more games all these years later. And tonight in the national title game should be a lot of fun. I saw a picture of Dan Marley, who joins us now, head coach at Grand Canyon University. Saw a picture that Dan posted over on Facebook where he and Jerry Colangelo, Brian Mueller, and another person, I couldn't recognize him, were down courtside on the floor at Dallas, or as they say, North Texas. My understanding is it took them a helicopter and a limo to get from the upper deck down to the floor because it is such a cavern in Texas. Am I close to that?
Well, a little close. One of the perks of hanging out with the Godfather, Jerry Colangelo, is you get it done no matter what. So we had a car. It took quite a while to get there. But as you said, we're right on the floor. So once you get into the stadium, you just got to go down a few stairs, and then you're right there. And it's amazing the seats that we had, 80,000 people there, and we were right in the second row, mid-court, sitting right behind the NCAA president. So The Godfather is taking care of me, and I'm having a great time.
It didn't suck, right? That's the best.
It was far from sucking. Yeah, it's quite an experience, and I've had. This is my second year doing this with Mr. Colangelo, and last night I was at the Hall of Fame dinner with all the Hall of Fame nominees. You know, Mitch Richmond and Alonzo Mourning and those guys, and Shrunas Marcellona, so I got to see them again and be a part of all that. So this is a special, special time for me to be able to absorb all this and to enjoy it. And, you know, I keep telling everybody, hopefully in 3 years now, there will be a time where we're in the tournament, Grand Canyon, and not far from then, we'll be in the Final Four.
Dan Marley with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. Could you shoot in that arena? There's no backdrop. I mean, you were a shooter, dead-eye shooter. Could you shoot in that arena?
Yeah, you know, it's difficult. It would take some time. You know, these kids have been here now, and they've had shoot-arounds, and now they have a game under their belt. I think it'll be better tonight if you get used to it. But it is a very different atmosphere to shoot in. Your depth perception is tough. It's really hard to shoot domes like that. You know, I've played it in San Antonio where they played in the dome. I played in Michigan when the dome. And if you get used to it, it's okay, but it takes a little bit of time.
Friday night, I took my wife and took my 9-year-old out to go see Captain America, and they had the Heat game on, and they did this Dan Marley 3-point rollout, and you're just sticking three after three in a Heat jersey. I'm sitting in a Buffalo Wild Wings over in Chandler, and there you are in all your glory doing your thing. And people forget how good of a shooter you were from downtown, and that's why I'm wondering about tonight. Tonight, do we see a team that has a shooter like a Dan Marley from downtown, as Connecticut does? And then you look at Kentucky, who you're scouting. You're playing Kentucky next year if everything works out. Do you see a little bit of the downtown from tonight, and could that be a factor in this game, Dan?
Well, you know, I think, you know, Kentucky is, we all know, are young kids who are athletic, who are better when they take it to the basket, and that's what I think they will do tonight. They'll probably try to attack inside with their size. You know, one of the reasons why Connecticut is so good is because of their guards. Their two guards really expose Florida. They're not very big, but they're very athletic. They're quick. They can score. They can shoot. They can penetrate. So it's going to be an exciting game. Kentucky's size and their athletic ability compared to what UConn wants to do. So I'm excited to see it. Nobody would obviously pick those two teams to play, but it's going to be fun. I enjoyed watching Kentucky play. Those young kids have really got a lot of confidence now, and you've talked about how many games they've played. The more games they get under the belt as freshmen and playing together, the better to be, and they have just hit a stride right now, and I think they're going to be hard to beat.
You want all those kids to turn pro, right?
Well, the problem with it, here's the thing, Brad. I want them, first of all, I want them to win.
Yeah.
So next year when we play our first game, we can say Grand Canyon's playing the past NCAA champion Kentucky Wildcats.
Right.
So we'll be playing them. But if all those guys turn pro, they got four or five already signed who are going to step right in. So it won't be against those guys, but it'll be against guys who are just as good, the top high school kids that are going to Kentucky. So no matter if they turn pro or not, they're going to have another four or five guys who are going to step right in and do the same thing those guys are doing.
And you're just shaking your head, right? Like, how can he stack this deck?
Well, you know, I think he does a good job, you know, what Kentucky has to offer. And that's just what big-time basketball is with Kentucky's and the Duke. They get guys like that with their TV contracts and how they can attract these guys and the national exposure they get. So it's my job at Grand Canyon to be a really good mid-major, is to recruit really good players that are going to get better. So hopefully by the time my guys are juniors and seniors and they're playing against guys who are freshmen, they have gotten better, they're more seasoned, they're more able to play at a level. And that's what's exciting about me, is that I get to work with kids for 3 or 4 years.
Sure, sure. Dan Marley with us from the Final Four. A couple other questions, I'll let you go. So, are you scouting Kentucky at all then tonight? I'll just quit beating around the bush on my part. Are you scouting them a little bit because you know you have them on your schedule next year?
No. I could scout them for 100 years, and I don't think we're ready to beat Kentucky yet. I mean, we're not at that level. So we're excited to – Brad, we're playing five teams next year that was in the tournament this year. We're playing Kentucky. We're playing Indiana University, New Mexico's coming to Grand Canyon. Harvard, who had a great year and had another great recruiting class, coming to Grand Canyon. New Mexico State, who obviously is in our league, and then Tulsa, who was in a tournament, is coming to Grand Canyon. So we want to play as good a competition we can. We're going to have 20 home games next year, which is huge, in a brand new, 7,200-seat arena now that we've added another 2,000 seats. So we're trying to play the best competition we can, and then come conference time, play really good basketball and try to win the WAC. We can't play in the tournament yet, the WAC tournament or the NCAA tournament. So we're just trying to build this thing. And in 4 years or 3 years now, when that sanction is lifted, we hit the floor running. So we're ready to go. And that's what we want to do.
Are you having coaches from Division I programs? Because people may not know this. The Final Four is a coaches' convention. I mean, it's everybody's there. Are you having coaches at the Division I level coming up to you asking what's going on, or B, do you have a game? We want to get a game with you. Are you getting any of that down there in Dallas, Dan?
Yeah, Grand Canyon has gotten so much exposure. And like I said, hanging around with Mr. Colangelo, I see a lot of people. You're right. All the coaches are here.
Yep.
You form friendships and bonds with all the coaches. And being a part of a Nike school, which GCU is, I've been to the Nike dinner with all the head coaches. So you sit around and you talk to those guys. You talk about scheduling games. And they know about Grand Canyon. We had Gonzaga in Texas at Grand Canyon playing in the scrimmage last year. So everybody's interested in what we're doing and how we're doing. And so those are great conversations. And the problem that we have is it's hard to get those bigger schools to come to Grand Canyon because they have nothing to win and everything to lose. They're expected to win. So to come to Grand Canyon is tough. That's what we're working on. So we got to go and find some games like at Kentucky and at Indiana, and use relationships to have guys like those eventually try to get back to GCU.
Before I ask you about tonight's game, your roster, have you added some players? The signing date's coming up. Have you added some guys? Have you lost anybody?
Yeah, we've lost a few guys. This year I had the Division II team, basically the team that I had last year. Mm-hmm. I'm recruiting. I'm getting a better player. So, I've had to have some hard conversation with a couple of our guys who they're going to be recruited over and probably won't play next year. And it's my job to be fair to them that if they want to play, then we'll find them a place to play. So I've lost a few guys, but we have a really good class coming in. We got two kids from Australia coming in, two kids from Texas. We got an African kid coming in. So, and we're still, got three scholarships left. So we're going to be out there hitting it hard, looking for players who can step right in and help us play. And we've had a couple redshirt guys that we redshirted this year that were expected to play. So we'll probably have a new roster next year, with the exception of three guys that are probably going to come back from last year's team who gave us significant minutes. So I'm looking forward to starting with the guys that I was able to recruit. Not that, I had great kids this year that bought into our program, and they'll forever be number one in my heart for what they were able to do for our program. And the seniors like Blake Davis and Killian Larson, guys like that who gave it all and really made it a great year for GCU and put us on the map to go even better than we did.
Are you into fifth-year seniors, Dan? Some programs aren't. Are you going to take a couple fifth-year seniors?
Yeah, we always will look for that. We did that this year. It didn't work out real well for us. Demetrius Walker, who was a fifth-year senior, didn't work out. Jeremy Adams, who was from Colorado, came in. Great kid who had a concussion for most of the year, played at the end of the year. He was a fifth-year guy. So you're always looking for guys like that. And the reason you do is because they're guys who can come in who have experience, who can play right away, give you a shot in the arm, maybe fill some gaps or holes in your roster, and then they're gone and you can fill that roster spot up again. So I think that's going to be a big part of it. If we can find guys who buy into what we want to do,
mm-hmm,
and know that it's about GCU and it's not just about them.
Who do you like tonight?
Like I said, I got to go with Kentucky. I want to play the adventure. I want to play the past champion next year. I think they're just too big of a role. UConn's had a great year, but I think Kentucky's size and their athleticism is really going to hurt them.
Appreciate your time. Stay well. Safe travels. Thanks.
All right, Brad. Thanks.
Good seeing you, Dan Marley, for a couple of minutes. Down at the Final Four, nicely done there tonight. Connecticut and Kentucky, national title game. So there's a Final Four shot here in Arizona that they've been working on, they meaning several people within the community, That my understanding is we're going to get a Final Four here. It's going to be either 17, 18, 19, or 20. Paula wrote about it. On the other side, I'll talk to Paula Bovin. She had a front page story on today's Arizona Republic. That's next. I'm Brad Susmat, Sports360AZ.com. Monday through Friday, right here. You can check us out online at AZ Central Sports and, of course, White Mountain Radio and on Twitter at Brad Susmat.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ. Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Susmat.
News and Notes, Paula Bovin, AZ Central sports columnist, my friend, joining us from North Texas momentarily. Eric, did you see the picture of Paula? They did a redo. They did Goody's picture, and he looks like a biker dude.
Yeah, I did see Bill Goody-Kunz's, but I did not see Paula's.
Paula looks like, I don't know. I mean, there's like the supermodel Paula, and then there's the I'm going to beat the tar out of you if you don't agree with me, Paula. There's a little bit of both on the front page of today's newspaper.
Ooh, edgy.
No, I know. She's just – it's like you don't want to screw around with her. I mean, she'll just whack you over the head with a hammer or something. So here's Paula Bovin now from Texas. Do you like your picture?
You know, I honestly haven't seen it. So I honestly have gotten mixed results. Word about it.
Oh, what have you heard?
Negative.
What do you mean you haven't seen it? What are you talking about? You don't go look at the picture they put of you in the paper?
Well, I've been gone.
What if it's just you waking up in the
for...
morning? Come on. Don't you have like editorial control?
No. No. I have no control of anything.
You have this look of like, I wish we could put this picture up on the stream, but it's like you just want to smack somebody over the head. Or something.
Well,
I don't know.
That's about right. You know, I feel that way sometimes.
Yeah, I know. Every Monday at like 10:30. I get it. So, how good is the Final Four?
It's been great. I mean, the games, the storylines. I can't say, quite honest, I'm overly impressed with the setup here. You know, you're talking about a very far arena with not great transportation and, you know, not huge things that the rest of the world should care about too much, but I know that a lot of fans have been frustrated.
Really?
But the games themselves have been fabulous.
Do you think the fans are frustrated because they think, hey, I'm going to go see the Final Four, and they're actually in another area code by the time they find their seat and they're watching it on television, which they could have done at home?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things going on. Although, you know, you've been in the stadium, haven't you?
I've not. I did not go to the Notre Dame ASU game.
Okay, I thought you had. It's for as big as it is, it's still fun to be in because it's just such a remarkable building. Now, you're sitting high up, and those seats stink, and there's no question about that. But it's almost like a tourist attraction because you could fly an airplane hangar in there. There's a giant airplane, you know, the giant scoreboard.
Right.
There's all those things that make it kind of entertaining. But, yeah, I think the people sitting high up, it can't be a very great experience.
The headline today is Valley's Full Court Press. Paula Bovin, News and Notes, sports columnist, AZ Central, friend of the show, joining us as she does on Mondays. Are we going to get a Final Four here in the next half dozen or dozen years?
I think so. I've been talking to a lot of people sort of in the mix. I think they really believe it's time to get one out west, and they know that reflects poorly that they haven't done that, and they know the track record of the Valley running, you know, big events has been very good. Always positive feedback from fans, positive feedback from media. You get great weather. The people who usually put things on here, plus the volunteers, do a top-notch job. And I think the selection committee for the site is very high on the Phoenix area right now.
Who is wielding the most pressure to get it done from out here? Is it Michael Bidwell, Jerry Colangelo, or are there some new names and faces that people are not familiar with?
Oh, I think the people at the forefront, which is, you know, Don Rogers at ASU, who's like an associate AD, Tom Sadler, who's, you know, worked at ASU for years with, I think, the sports commission now, and has just done a great job trying to get things here and running events. I mean, I think they're at the forefront, but they certainly have the support of people from the Cardinals, Bidwell, guys like that, who, you know, and I think I addressed this in my column. I think the last time they did a bid, there was a very much a feeling of a disconnect among the different cities.
Yes.
Maybe, you know, Glendale being, what can you do for us? What can this Final Four do for us? And, you know, others saying, what's our role? It's not the case anymore. There's very much sort of a unified group doing this. And I think the NCAA has definitely picked up on that.
Okay, so when would we find out?
So we'll find out in November. That's what the Valley is, one of 8 finalists. And then, you know, in the mix is the usual Indianapolis, which does an amazing job because everything is basically across the street from each other. You know, New Orleans, those cities are also in the mix, but they'll make a decision in November.
How have you found, we're talking to Paula Bovin, she's at the Final Four tonight, the title game, Kentucky and Connecticut. How have you found the Arizona connections down there? Meaning, have you spent any time around Jerry Colangelo? We just had Dan Marley on. I'm sure Herb Sendek is down there. Sean Miller is down there. Have you found some Arizona angles while you've been down there outside of the Final Four bid?
You know, not that much. And I don't think Miller, I think I heard Miller and Sendek both are not here. Sendek typically does not come to the Final Four. He goes back to Pittsburgh and he has a tradition. He likes to watch the games with his dad. And so I think he's back in Pittsburgh. And Miller, you know, I don't know the reason. I can imagine it probably would be a little painful being here. I don't know. And, you know, Miller is such a recruiting fiend. Maybe he's, you know, working on something in that regard. And this year I haven't run into Jerry. Usually I have run into him. But the set, like I said, the setup here is a little more challenging to do that kind of thing. So not a ton of Arizona connections other than the you know, people, I've talked to a lot of the people who are trying to get the Final Four in Phoenix, and they're right now touring sites and, you know, seeing how things are run, stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, Dan Marley kind of gave it away. Jerry's 2 rows back at center court, so there you go.
And, yeah, and well, I saw both of them, I think it was last year at the Final Four, and it was, I think, Dan's first Final Four with Jerry, and, you know, they had those brilliant seats, and Dan said something like, it's all downhill from here. I mean, when am I going to, you know, ever get a great seat like this again at the Final Four?
Yeah, so. He said he wants to see Kentucky win tonight, as do I, because GCU is playing at Kentucky next year. And I think it'd be kind of fun to have a team here in town play the defending national champs, even though all 5 of those kids for Kentucky are leaving, right? Is that what you're hearing?
I have not heard all 5, but I've heard at least 3, 4.
Yeah.
And, you know, but a good chunk of them will be gone. It'll be a whole different team next year.
How do you like dealing with Kevin Ollie, who has not gotten the attention that, of course, John Calipari gets, the head coach of Connecticut?
He's fantastic. And I've even gotten that from people who are working behind the scenes talking about what kind of a guy he is. You always sort of get the, you know, when they're driving around in golf carts, delivering them places and things like that. Just a guy who's a great relationship with players. You know, he's done an amazing job. He wasn't a head coach before, and he'd only been, this is only his second year in Connecticut. But, you know, obviously he came into a good situation, a program that believed in being successful, things like that. But he's also put his own stamp on it, and it's just been impressive what he's been able to do in just 2 seasons. And a very likable guy. And you can, you know, he's young for a lot of these coaches out here. I think he's 41, but you can tell the players really respect him.
On the other side, Calipari, what's he been like to deal with?
He's been great, you know. He's had a phenomenal year. When you look at where they were at the beginning of the season to who they are now,
they were not
living
good.
They were not good.
They were bad.
That?
They were bad at the start of the year.
They were bad, and you know, this is a guy. Back in the day, people would talk about Calipari, and you know, they'd be like, "Oh, that he's the cheater. He's this. He's that. He's slick." Among his peers, I think, and among fans, the respect right now for his coaching and what he has done this season. And he's been great. And someone told me a story that he overheard one of Kentucky's players kind of complaining about having to do a 4th or 5th interview. Because these guys, you know, on these interview days, these players are carted around. And it gets long because they have to practice. And one of the players was complaining, and Calipari turned to him quickly and said something like, you know, you could be home right now and appreciate what you have in the moment. And I thought that was kind of a neat behind-the-scenes moment because it kind of shows that he's really trying to get these kids to embrace what they're experiencing.
Okay, a couple other questions I'll let you go. I know you've got the game tonight. Need to rest up for that. Paula Bovin from North Texas, as they like to say, rather than Dallas.
Exactly.
At the national title game tonight with Brad Sussmat, AZ Central sports columnist. So Any buzz at all about these issues? One and done's, unionization of players, the health of college basketball? Because I'm reading and hearing a lot nationally, but I don't know if there's a gnashing of teeth back there about these subjects.
There are. And, you know, part of the reason was yesterday, not only was the NCAA president available to the media, but also a lot of the presidents who are all griping about the one and done and talking about unionization and all those kinds of things. But I'm hearing it more from media and people sort of leadership than I am from fans. This has been such a fantastic tournament. I think part of it is just the whole, you know, parity issue, mm-hmm. that teams that, you know, look at those highest seeds that are playing in this final game. It may be bad for college basketball, people talking about the one and done and other things, but the tournament has been terrific, and I don't think fans are that caught up in those issues. I think fans are caught up in great games, and that's what we're seeing. So I think it's been very divisive. It's been fans really not that interested in sort of media and leadership debating topics.
Well put. It's a good way to look at it. Well, look, safe travels, and I know that you know, I saw you along the way with U of A, and now you've taken it and gone all the way to the Final Four. You haven't missed anything out here. The baseball team stinks. When we start debating whether the stadium is too large for them to play in, it means please don't talk about how bad we are. We've got to get something else out there to get the attention off our bad ball club, and I'm not biting on that. The pro basketball team's playing pretty well. I don't know if you had a chance
to see them or not. I watched that game last night. That was terrific.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and other than that, there's some stuff over at ASU that's somewhat interesting, but nothing like where you are. So enjoy yourself tonight. I appreciate the time today.
All right. Thanks, Brad.
See you at Paula Bova News and Notes from North Texas. Not Dallas, North Texas. By the way, Eric, did you see the fan broadcast on Saturday night? And what did you make out of that?
I didn't see it, but I heard quite a bit about it.
So the deal on it is, or was, that, and I don't know if they're doing that tonight, but they had on TNT, like the Florida broadcast.
Yes.
And then they had over on True TV, the other broadcast.
Right.
And then they had on TBS the neutral broadcast.
Right. And it's not on CBS, which literally, like, I went through the guide trying to figure out what time the game started. And I'm like, DirecTV hasn't even updated their listing. Like, Channel 5, where is the game? It starts right around 3. TBS, of course, the new world that we live in.
So for those of us that are older than 20, for years it's been on CBS.
And 35 now years, to be exact.
Yeah, and now they push it all over to cable. And so they come out, and Rex Chapman was doing, and mm-hmm. we know Rex. Rex has done Grand Canyon's games. Rex was doing the Kentucky broadcast. And all it is Kentucky. It's a total homer broadcast.
Yeah, people don't realize that, Brad. Like, everyone on Twitter is like, oh, my gosh, it's so one-sided. Well, of course.
Yeah, of course it is.
Of course.
Come on.
Like, the Florida broadcast is actually the radio broadcast from the Florida Gators that I think they just popped on the TV.
Yeah, but so when the Wisconsin Badger fans are playing against Kentucky, and there's the Wisconsin broadcast and the Kentucky broadcast,
sure.
and then there's the neutral broadcast. So if you're really tuning in as a fan, do you want to hear a guy, if you're a Kentucky fan, do you need to hear Rex Chapman saying, we are going to win tonight, and we this and we that, and eat glass? Because that's where Rex was going. There's a lot of we's and us's. I think that's a Southeast thing. I don't get that a whole lot out west, which I'm fine with. I kind of believe that there still is integrity within a broadcast. I may be naive to that, but when the Suns stink and I have somebody saying, you got to get down here, this is great, this is amazing, this is awesome, there is zero credibility in that. There's zero in when I'm watching a TV broadcast. And, well, boy, you don't know what you're missing now. No, I do know what I'm missing. And then when the team plays well, you don't need to hit me over the head with a shovel to encourage me to go buy a ticket to come down. I can figure it out for myself. You don't need to have interns on Twitter that say, boy, what a great night I had at the Suns game. And it turns out they're interning for the Suns, and then they retweet them. You don't need to do all those little games. I know that's where we live in this day and age, where you just want to bombard people with how great your product is, but enough. So the other night, if you're a fan of Wisconsin and you want to hear your homer announcer saying, go Badgers, oh, we lost, it's fine. I ended up over at Jim Nance. Jim Nance sounds a little bored to me. I don't know if he's upset his audience is being fragmented. I don't know. Brad Sussman. And by the way, when Charles said you all are idiots, it was beautiful on Saturday night. It was just awesome. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, I'm Brad Sussman.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365 at Sports360AZ.com.
So tonight we have the national title game. The Suns are off tonight. They don't play until Wednesday. The Diamondbacks are off until tomorrow when they play at San Francisco. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports360AZ.com. Check us out. Plenty of local content. We're Arizona-centric. Go a little bit deeper, a little different. Sports360AZ.com. And also on AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. The Diamondbacks end of things, and I've got some football I want to get to in a minute on Johnny Manziel and RG3 that's been bugging me all the weekend, and some stuff on ASU too. But so Trumbo is the real deal so far. Yesterday, there's been nothing else positive really in my mind in watching the Diamondbacks except Mark Trumbo here in the first week and a half. Wade Miley pitched very well yesterday at Colorado. The Diamondbacks were able to win. Miley, for whatever reason, gets it done at Colorado. He is 7-0. But without Trumbo, the Diamondbacks would not have a win as of yet.
Mark Trumbo launches one down the left field line. Will it stay fair? That ball is gone, a home run. Mark Trumbo continues to crush it at Coors Field, a two-run shot, and it's 5-0 Diamondbacks.
So I find myself, when I'm watching a Diamondbacks game now, if I know that Goldschmidt and Trumbo are coming up, one or the other or both, I don't turn the channel, which is very important for the Diamondbacks. Even when they stink, I want to watch those two do their thing. There's something about the two of them together that, to me, is kind of magnetic so far this season. Yeah, their record's bad at 2-7. And if anybody thinks that Ken Kendrick is sitting around saying, well, it's all going to work out, it's all going to be fine, and I'm not worried, then you don't know Ken Kendrick, okay? To think that there isn't some internal pressure on Gibby to get this thing headed in the right direction is completely misguided. You're completely sweeping it under the rug. Oh, Brad, well, you're not there with them on the road. How do you? I know Ken Kendrick. And there's not a chance that he's happy with 2-7. And so tomorrow they go to San Francisco. And the Giants beat the Diamondbacks over the head down here. And Tim Hudson is on the mound tomorrow. It's the home opener for the Giants. Tim Hudson was great last week. Trevor Cahill is on the mound for the Diamondbacks. Trevor Cahill has not been good so far. And I'm being nice. I write today about how down on the farm, Archie Bradley had his debut for the Reno Aces yesterday. You want to read how he did, my thoughts on what to do? Go over to sports360az.com and get a little bit more on it. Here is Gibby on Trumbo's hot streak to start the season and what he has given the Diamondbacks thus far.
He's playing well for us. He's a very formidable bat. He's a very smart hitter. He recognizes pitches well right now, and he's making them pay for it.
Yeah, and it's fun to watch, even though the team itself not good at 2-7. Very disappointing start. No other way to put it. Let's not sugarcoat it. But wait. I see this story about how empty seats and that it's a concern. And I'm like, guys, we're not even 2 weeks into the season and we're already going into the bag of tricks of empty seats. Let's get that story out there. I mean, come on. This team's not playing well. That's where the focus needs to be. Not whether or not tarps need to come along or blowing up seats and moving things out. That stuff is just not worth it. Fans' time. It's stuff to bring up to deflect attention away from the team not being good. And, you know, so the attendance, Eric, you were at the Giants game when it wrapped up, and there was nobody in the stands. It was a 12:35 first pitch.
Yep.
The bees showed up. There
they
were
did.
More bees than fans, it sounded like.
Possibly. And as I talked to you about earlier in the day, it was just one of those situations, Brad, where we're, I don't know, 10 minutes away from first pitch, and Jared Coe and I are sitting up in the press box, and we're looking around. And it's literally like select a seat, not just in the upper deck,
sure,
but down in the rich people section, down the outfield lines,
happens,
down the base lines. I understand it. But again, when they announce the crowd of 19,000,
yeah,
those are tickets sold. Those are not butts in seats. And it's just like, I understand it's the middle of the week. I know it's a day game, but it's the Giants. And you pack the house on opening night or relatively close, and then just the huge drop-off the next 2 days after
that's
that.
That's baseball,
it
though.
It is.
Yesterday, the Rockies game, there was nobody. It didn't look to me like there were many people. I shouldn't say nobody. It didn't look like there were many people that were there yesterday. I don't know. If you win big, and I'll get the, well, even if we win big, they still don't show up. You haven't won big since 2001. When you have deep playoff runs and you're able to get to the World Series or on the cusp of the World Series, it's kind of funny how fans show up. I don't know. The basketball team could use some extra seats right about now next door. Funny how here's a team that plays their tails off. Fans have gotten to know these guys this season. I think there's a familiarity problem with the Diamondbacks too. That's not on Derek Hall, okay? I'll be honest here. I was in on a focus group in December, and the questions were all about the Diamondbacks and what they can do to, and the fans had no idea in this focus. It was like 40 of them. They had no idea about who was in charge here or who was involved in this or that with the Diamondbacks. It was stunning to me. But you can't always do the let's tell you how great our ballpark food is, or let's put cameras all over the place. And when the team is losing 5-0, we can still give you a different experience. That doesn't work.
The 3-foot corn dog has gotten more publicity locally and nationally than the baseball team has over the first week. And that's not a good thing.
No, it's not. I mean, look, if you want to have a heart attack and we can all have fun talking about it for a point, I'm not going to sit here and demean that. But the focus needs to be on the field. The focus needs to be on the product. And not marketing it all over. They've tried this approach. Yep. Hasn't worked. And it's really not that hard. If Trumbo hits balls a long, long ways and Goldschmidt plays as well as he does over at first base, we're not going to have people complaining about how we don't get any respect out in Arizona.
It's just like our baseball insider Pedro Gomez told you last week, Brad. You can't win a division in the first couple weeks of the season, but you sure can lose it. And at the time, the Diamondbacks were like, what, 1-3,
I think? You can lose fans, Eric. I think you can lose fans in relatively short order here in Arizona. When I hear people say this is a bad sports market, then move. Just move. It's really not that hard. If you don't like it here, then move.
Well, it's not like New York. Well, you know, in Detroit, move.
It never will be like New York.
It's never
going
to be. That's why I'm here and not there. Okay, but when teams win big, I don't know, it happens to roll, and it's not just being in a pennant race. You've got to win big here and be consistent with it. That's why I've always said this is a Suns town first. They were the first team that was here. The Cardinal people like to say this is a Cardinal town. Look at how great our TV ratings are. Yeah, the first time the Bears are relevant, most of the people that follow the Cardinals are going to go follow the Bears because that's their team. When the Bears aren't relevant, they're going to follow the Cardinals. That's the way it is out here. It's the way it's been. Bunch of bandwagon jumping Cowboy fans out here, too. So Santan Ford. Let me tell you about Santan Ford, where it's all about you and general manager Tim Hovick and company. When I talk about Santan Ford, so Tim and I, myself and Eric, were in Las Vegas at the Pac-12 tournament. It's a typical Tim Hovick story. Tim says, hey, come on up here. We're sitting with the Pac-12 network people. They're interested in meeting you and knowing what you're doing over there at Sports 360 AZ. We sit with them. We go out. We have a nice dinner. He asks how things are going. I tell him I'm doing fine. We're driving in the Fusion. Fusion's great. I ask him, what does he need help with? He tells me what he needs help with and how's business going for him. It's a win-win. I swing on by a couple weeks later, and the dealership is busy. There's people there. They're shopping for that car and that truck. That's how it works. This isn't game plan. I don't have some script here of, please say this about us. No. It's not how it works with me. Santan Ford, where it's all about you, just off the Santan 202 and Val Vista. That's Santan Ford. Stop on in to see Tim Hovick and company. That's at Santan Ford. Johnny Manziel has applied for the house that Johnny built trademark. So his business people have just figured out, we're going to monetize this to the nth degree. That's on my mind. I'd kind of like to see Johnny Manziel, rather than being the celebrity man guy like Vikings coach Mike Zimmer referred to him, I don't know, tap the brakes a little bit. And then there's RG3, who has to trademark his own logo. You haven't done anything. Nothing. You've been marketed. Please go play the game. I don't see Tom Brady or Peyton Manning doing those sorts of things. I see Peyton pitching Papa John's, okay, but he's not trademarking his own logo. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and you can get to me on Twitter, @BradSusmat, C-E-S-M-A-T.